U.S. and other world leaders want Indonesia to suspend its military campaign against separatist rebels in the province of Aceh and return to the negotiating table. Indonesia's latest offensive, its largest in the 27-year conflict, continues for a third day today. Human rights groups are concerned about the fate of civilians caught up in the fighting. From Aceh, NPR's Eric Weiner reports.
The people of Aceh remember all too well the last time the Indonesian government vowed to crush the rebels from the Free Aceh movement. It was during the 1980s under former Indonesian dictator Suharto. He failed to achieve victory, and 10,000 people, the vast majority civilians, died in the fighting. So no wonder many people here are worried that this new military offensive marks a return to the dark days of the Suharto era. Fuad Marohatsila is a professor at Aceh's State Islamic Institute.
We suffered misery for a long time under the Suharto era. Yeah, we have no right to speak. We have no justice. We have no room to express our identity, no room to express our culture.
The Acehnese have always considered themselves different from the rest of Indonesia. This was one of the first places where Arab traders landed when they sailed to Southeast Asia centuries ago. And to this day, people here still practice a more conservative form of Islam. The war in Aceh, though, is not just about religion. It's about resources and how they're divvied up. Aceh is flush with oil and natural gas, as well as famous Sumatra coffee. Yet the 4 million people of Aceh say they see little of this profit. Most of it is diverted to the central government in Jakarta. Dean Sayafuddin, leader of a group of Islamic clerics, says it is this siphoning off of Aceh's wealth that angers so many people here.
This is the root of the problem and the conflict of Aceh because of the injustice. And therefore, the problem solving is to establish justice in the area.
Justice, though, is a rare commodity in Aceh, especially for the estimated 100,000 people who have lost their homes. The lucky ones end up here at a makeshift refugee center. The building was once a concert hall. Now it's home to about 400 men and women. They sleep on the floor and share a single bath. Mariana fights back tears as she explains how 2 years ago her house was burned down. The men who did it, she says, wore civilian clothes but were accompanied by Indonesian soldiers. We watched our homes burn while guns were pointed at us, she says. Now we don't have anything, nothing at all, just the clothing we're wearing. She says she did not support the independence movement before, but now she says she wants nothing to do with Indonesia. In fact, some here, such as Muslim scholar Yusni Sabi, say the military's get-tough approach has inadvertently fanned the flames of rebellion.
From 1976, the problem was so small and limited in region. What kind of solution is being taken? What kind of treatment is being taken now? It's not, I think, not proper.
But as in many of the world's guerrilla wars, there is no black and white in Aceh. Human rights groups also accuse the rebels of committing atrocities of their own. The movement, they say, has attracted its share of thugs interested in plunder more than independence. Eric Weiner, NPR News, Aceh, Indonesia.